and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Old Testament lesson for the last Sunday of the church year is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed on them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, I will bring back the strayed, I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is excepted, who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will be also subjected to him, who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick, or in prison, or visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to the one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. We sing our next hymn, number 735, "Have No Fear, Little Flock," number 735.
no importance, but actually are quite, quite important. And I've got some of those here in this little bag with me. How about this? Might be hard to see from here. The shoelace. It'd be kind of difficult to wear our shoes without shoelaces. Now I know, some of the new shoes really don't use laces, but there was a time when we couldn't get by without them. What about a button? Buttons are very, very important. And I think for most of us still, our pants being held up rely on a button. So buttons, small, but really important. Let's see. Thread. Sometimes we don't think of thread as very important. But really, our clothes are made of it, so, and it holds the different pieces of our clothes together. So definitely got to have thread. Finally, a safety pin. The all-important safety pin. Again, really small from probably back there. But if something breaks, you need a safety pin for a quick fix. Maybe the zipper broke on your jacket, or the hem came out of your pants, and we don't have time to really fix it, so mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, or even a teacher, quickly sticks in a safety pin and gets you on your way. Perhaps you've noticed some other small things in your life. Maybe teacher has said, oh, she's so helpful in class. Or dad has said, he really does a good job at taking out the trash when he's supposed to. Or mom says, he's really kind to his brothers and sisters. These are all small things, and yet we are tempted to ask ourselves, I don't remember doing that. I don't remember being helpful to mom or dad or teacher. I never thought that I would rely or need a shoelace. Or I never thought of the button as keeping my pants on. But in our gospel lesson for today, Jesus is saying that those who believe in him don't really think about the big things, nor do they think about the small things. They just do it. They just use them. And so when Jesus comes again at the end of the world, he's going to say to those people who always did those small little things, yes, you did it. You were helpful to mom. You went to church. You listened to the pastor's sermon. You studied the Bible. You helped out those when they needed to be helped out. And for this, although it seems so small to a giant God, is really what keeps everything together. When Jesus comes at the end of time, he is going to say to those people, to the sheep who did all the small things, you are the ones who kept the church together. You are the ones who showed mercy and showed love to those who need it. And that's really what binds us together as Christians, showing love to one another. And that's what we'll keep doing until Jesus comes again. Just doing the small stuff, not really thinking about it. And God does this through his Holy Spirit whenever we hear his word. We continue with our next hymn, our hymn of the day, number 508. Thank you.
just turned it off. Yeah.
I hope you'll pardon me, but we're going to have to do just a little bit of housekeeping. I'm about ready to pull out my hair when it comes to this sound system. So last couple weeks, they had trouble, and we found out the little part. It worked fine, but guess what it's not doing right now and why you keep seeing me running back and forth. So if you can't hear me, although that's a little odd, send it to me and text me. I'll read it. Can you hear me? You can't hear me. Excellent. I was worried I could be heard. All right. The devil is in the details. So we're going to play just a little game with this thing. Don't worry about moving it. And it's not a magic trick. And it's not a part of the sermon. All right. We're going to try that. Hear me? It gets irritating when you're at home and you can't hear. So I apologize, I can't hear. Can you hear me? Yes, no. Can you hear me, Jim? You can hear me. All right. Let's try this then. Now I need to breathe. Here we go. Grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. Dearly beloved of the Lord. Have you ever seen these amazing rescues that have taken place? These amazing things, you might think of Apollo 13. You might think of Sully when he landed on the Hudson River. Now, some of you will remember this, some of you won't remember. How many remember baby Jessica? Oh, yeah, that baby Jessica. That was back in 1987, mid-80s. I think it was in 87. And baby Jessica was a toddler. She was 18 months old. She was in her aunt's backyard playing with the other kids, and the aunt went to answer a phone, and baby Jessica had disappeared. She had fallen down a well in an 8-inch pipe, 8 inches. She had slipped and fallen down into that well and was stuck down in the pipe about 22 feet down. Now, it's an amazing story because she could have slipped further. They tried many things and figured out what they could do. They dug down and made another hole in parallel to her and about 2 feet below her. Of course, as you're moving the earth in that, does she slip? Does she go down further? And then finally they made a hole and got into the pipe about 2 feet below it where she was. And she was there for about 56 hours like that in that dark hole. But an amazing rescue, that young lady is here with us today. Well, not here with us today. But if you think of it, she's in her 30s now. Today, you may think that's an amazing rescue, and it is. And there are so many more. But the one that we want to look at, you can guess when you're in church. You want to think about the rescue that God had given to us, that he has given us in our dark holes in our life that we have. And so we pick up with our Ezekiel text. In our Ezekiel text that we have, he writes, and the people are off to Babylon, its captivities, in that time of darkness for them. But what had happened earlier in this chapter is you have God's judgments against those who shepherded the people. There was a judgment against them. And the reason there was a judgment against them, the kings and the religious leaders, is they had misled the people into idolatry. They misled the people in idolatry. And they were in their darkness. They were taken off in captivity. Even though they had been delivered before from the land of Egypt, they had fallen into it. And now they were taken captive once again into Babylon. What we have today, and what I want to think about, is that God is our shepherd. And as they would rescue us from our darkness, whether it's in external or internal or external, things that lead us astray. John, will you do me a favor and go tell them to turn that down? Thank you. When you start hearing yourself, I was going to start holding up a number. Oh, I'm going to give that preacher 5.3. Thank you. What we have is, think about it. Think about the darknesses that take. And when this darkness has come, they're leading us. They're leading us into captivity. The captivity of sin. Not the captivity of Babylon, but the captivity of sin. Where does it happen? Well, we can go and listen to those who would lead us and shepherd us externally. We can listen to those preachers who are unwilling to tell us that we are sinners. There's one famous one that says, I am not poor, I am not miserable, and I am not a sinner. She was Missouri Synod. But she thinks that positive thinking or something along that line is what saves you. That will just mislead us. Lead us to a Jesus that is not the Jesus who came. That's a spiritual darkness. There's others that want to tell you that you can win and have victory, and you listen to their messages and have little to do with Jesus. I mean, we'll call ourselves Christians, but we won't actually talk about Christ. That's sad and leads us into darkness. But there's also the sadness of the internal. The internal, where we may be like Zacchaeus and we lead ourselves away with greed, or maybe like Saul with self-righteousness. Maybe like the prodigal son or Absalom who rebelled against their father. Or maybe we can be like Eli who let his sons do what they want without any discipline, which led them into darkness. Or maybe we can be like Ahab who coveted the vineyard of someone else. And his wife Jezebel had others go and lie about Nahabu so that they could cast him out, stone him, and take the vineyard. There are many things that work in us that are in darkness, that lead us in darkness. You have to look at yourself, look at the Ten Commandments, and think about them. What things within me lead me into that darkness and the captivity into sin? But this is something beautiful we have. We are told in our text today that the Lord himself is the one. He says, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from all the peoples and then gather them together in his countries. Remember what Jesus said when he was talking to Zacchaeus. The Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes after us. He seeks us. He would save us from that darkness, that deep hole of darkness of our own sin, and that darkness that other shepherds would lead us astray. Whether it be a TV evangelist, a preacher who preaches wrong, whether it be that which is in us, whether it would be in a professor in school who would lead you away from God and say God does not exist, and then come up with some of the stupidest logic I've heard in my life, that's another story. But God seeks us out. He seeks you out, and he says that he not only seeks us out, but he would gather us together. He would gather you and me together and feed us and heal us In other words, our Lord wants to put you in Psalm 23. There's a little church in Missouri, and for some reason I can't remember the name of it. It's away from Sedalia. And I think it's off of 50 towards Sedalia. And you turn in, and when you turn into that, you go down this road and you go through some woods. And when you come out, you're on top of a hill. And you look, and there's these vast valleys and hills and greenery. And there's a church up there, and you follow it down, and you go through it, and go across the creek, and up it, or a little stream, feeling like the word creek, and you go up, and there's the church. It looks like Psalm 23. And I don't know how many people have been there and have said that too. They said, it looks like you're in Psalm 23. What does it look like when you're in Psalm 23? It looks like that in one sense in a picture, but what it really looks like is where the Lord gives you a quiet resting place and He heals you. And you know where He does that? While we're in this fallen world? Do you know where He promises to come as He seeks you out to gather you together, to feed you and heal you? Where does He promise you that quiet waters of Psalm 23 while you're still on earth? Do you know where? In His house. A lot of churches call their service worship service. And that's okay. But the Germans called it Gottesdienst. Let me translate that for you. Divine service. Divine service 1, divine service 2, divine service 3, divine service 4, divine service 5. Why do they call it the divine service? Because our Lord said, I myself, the divine one, serves you. It's not the divine service that's in a sense, ooh, that's such a divine service. Ooh, not that kind of divine. But it is about the divine one serving you. I myself will feed you. And He does feed us. From the moment that you hear the words of Scripture collected together, and it says, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the divine one is serving us. His name. All the way to the end, where He puts His name upon us, He shows us that His presence is here, He blesses us and forgives our sins, and it goes like this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Look up Numbers chapter 6 and see what it says about that benediction. And read the words around it. It is the I myself serving you, blessing you. The one who calls us together to give us a quietness, all you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. How many of you have been beat up by your sin or the sins of others this week? Or have you all done fine? Come to me, you are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He gives us His body and blood. He gives us life and salvation. He gives us Himself. He gives us His name. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us mercy. He blesses us. He takes those sins that we have had all week long and that we've been wrestling with. And even that I by nature, and He washes you clean. Do you have sins that burden you? They're not yours anymore. They belong to the Lord. They were put on Jesus on the cross. He died for that. You can't have that back. If you try to take it back, you're acting like a robber. I mean, isn't it a silly picture of yourself? Imagine yourself, well, you can imagine yourself in a mask real easy. And then I want you to have a gun and go up to Jesus and say, "All right, I want my sins back. Give them to me." It sounds ridiculous. It is ridiculous. But we do that when we hang on to them. But the Lord says, "I myself will gather you together, feed you, and heal you." Maybe if we ever start a mission church, let's call it Psalm 23. What do you say? I don't know of any congregations that are called Psalm 23. And maybe that would be a reminder to people. But we have Trinity and all the work that the Trinity does for you, what the Father does, what the Son does, what the Holy Spirit does, because He loves you and rescues you and me. 33 years ago, an 18-month-old went down an 8-inch pipe into the darkness for 56 hours. And the nation watched. And that little girl was rescued. 2,000 years ago, on a Good Friday, the sky became dark and the sun hid its face. And the darkness of our sin was put upon our Savior Jesus Christ to rescue us out of the life of sin and death, to rescue us and give us eternal life. For we are God's people. He has made it so in the waters of baptism. You are mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand as we confess our faith using the words of the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things are made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God. And he shall come again to glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom shall have no end. And
Holy Catholic.
Catholic and Apostolic Church, for all who faithfully confess the saving name of Christ, and for the protection of the Lord to extend over us against the devil, the world, and our sinful selves, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the flock of God, for the faithful shepherds who gathered them in through the voice of God's word, for our forgiveness, and for our willingness to forgive others in Christ's name, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and governor, our newly elected leaders, and all in authority over us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the hungry and homeless, for the unemployed and underemployed, for those who work in disaster relief, and for the social service agencies of our church, let us pray to the Lord. For a giving spirit, that we may not neglect the poor, nor fail to provide resources to the church to fulfill the Lord's bidding, and spread the gospel to every place, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those afflicted by illness of body or mind, and for those who care for them, especially do we remember Raymond, who is hospitalized, and for Charles, who is undergoing surgery, and for those who are recovering from illnesses or surgeries, Miriam, Elka, Archie, Keith, Lou, Ken, Diane, Gary, Sue, Bob, and Fanny. And for those contending with other health issues, Erica, Jeff, Ken, Nicole, Marla, David, Russell, Timothy, Amy, Sammy, Ellie, Carol, Brandon, Dennis, Alvin, Yvonne, Farah, Michelle, Michael, Julia, Sandra, Weston, Charlene, Richard, Tabitha, Davino, Jessica, Emma, Faith, Bill and Beverly, Kylie, Mary, Arlene, Blake, Linda, Roberta, Shirley, Callie, Jim, Emma, Sarah, Will, Sarah, Anthony, Brady, Jane, Chelsea, and Ruth Ann. And for those managing the effects of cancer, Merritt, Beth, Aaron, Stephanie, Connie, David, Joyce, Joanne, Thatcher, Ron, Jennifer, Jerry, Brianna, Linda, Jamie, David, Renee, Tom, Stephanie, Susan, Robert, Anna, Ron, Teresa, Nancy, Sue Ellen, Sonia, Frank, Larry, John, Judy, Carl, Donna, Amy, Susan, Kent, Al, and Jan. That for these and for all whom the Lord knows, that with God's strength they may be kept through patience and delivered to everlasting life, let us pray to the Lord. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace.